let this word travel with authority. Let this word travel with anointing and produce life and blessing to all who receive it today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Well, if you're joining us today on live stream, I want to welcome you on behalf of New Beginnings Community Church, Pastor Gail and myself. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Rob. We hope that we do have some first-time viewers watching us today. But before we say anything else, we want you to, if you're watching on live stream, go ahead and share the broadcast, please. Invite somebody to join in on this and create a watch party, however you do that. And I believe I'm going to give you an important word today and how to find safety in a time of calamity. I do want to welcome our guest. If you are watching for the first time, if you are a guest, you could let us know that you're watching. The way that you could do that is you could text us a message, just checking in. Text the word guest to 203-403-2529. And when you do that, you're just saying, I checked into your community of faith today. You're going to get a response from us. And on that response, you're going to be able to just fill out your basic email information, your name, let us know where you're from. And there's a little place there for a prayer request. If you are in need of prayer, we want to pray for you. So we not only want to welcome you to our community, we want you to let us know how we can support you in prayer. My wife and I made a decision last night that every prayer request that comes in, we are going to personally pray for those prayer requests during our prayer time this week. My wife, Pastor Gail, and myself have been really praying and seeking God for the Church of Jesus Christ at large and also for New Beginnings Community Church. So you have pastors that are praying for you as being part of our church community. Also, if you did not download the NBCC app yet, please do that because that's going to be the primary way that we here at New Beginnings communicate with our community of faith. We're going to do it primarily through the app with special notifications, important messages. So to really stay connected, you've got to get that app. I've been saying it for a year now. Download the NBCC app, especially for an emergency when we need to get in contact with you. We could do so through the app with one little message, and it'll pop right up on a notification on your NBCC app. So you do have to download that. It's very important. You could text NBCC app to 77977 and make sure you download that today. And you could also watch us on live stream with just the click of a button right there on the app. Also, if anybody needs a prayer request that has the app, right there on your app, you could send in a prayer request. And if you just need prayer just to support you, or if you're going through something specific, or if you're dealing with a sickness or anything like that, please let us know. We want to pray for you. In this moment right now, before I give you the word, we do want to still honor the Lord with our finances and with our offering. We don't only do that in good times, but we do it in stressful times as well. And so there's three different ways that you can give. You can give through the NBCC app. You can also give by texting NBCC Darianne to 77977. I believe it's on your screen right now. And you can also go to our NBCC website at nbcc.org. You could click the give button right there on the top of the homepage, and you can give that way as well. Stay faithful to the Lord because God is the one that provides for all of us, folks. And so we're going to go ahead and we are going to get into the word today. And we do appreciate our praise team before I start. And we also appreciate our media team for being here in our sanctuary today. And I wish everybody can give them a hand. So if you're at home, just go ahead and cheer them on. They've really been working hard and to really do the best that we can in presenting a good live stream to you. So we appreciate our musicians and our singers and all of our tech people as well. Do you know the earth is being shaken? The entire earth is being shaken. Not just one country or several communities. The nations of the world are being shaken. And I believe God has an agenda. The prophets are seeking the Lord, and we're seeking God and trying to find out what is it, God, that you're doing in the earth? What is it that you're speaking? And it's many different things, but one thing is for sure, that God is getting the attention of the nations of the world. And he's also getting the attention, I believe, first and foremost, he's getting the attention of his people, the church of the living God. God is wanting his people to awaken. He is wanting his people to repent. He's wanting his people to connect with him in a way that we've never connected before and align ourselves with him. And it seems like the church always reconnects with God when there is a calamity or when there is stress in the nation or in the world. And God uses problems, folks. He uses situations. He uses adversity. He uses suffering. God uses calamities. He uses these things that happen to us in life to get our attention, to tune in to the living God, to tuck in our spiritual clothing, our shirt, spiritual shirt, and to really mean business with God and take our faith to another level. And I really believe that God is waking up the church to be the people that we claim to be. We claim to be a people of faith. We're not supposed to be a people of fear and a people of panic. God has called us to be a people of faith, a light in a dark world, the city on a hill that cannot be hid, light that shines into darkness. And so there's fear that is permeating the earth today. And we can understand that. But the people of God are people of faith. There's not only the pandemic of the COVID-19, but there's another underlying pandemic. It's a pandemic of fear. And it's in many ways even worse than a virus. In fact, fear is a virus itself. It's a virus that grows. It's a virus that is highly contagious, and it is also a virus that we must overcome. And the way that we overcome fear for the believer, the way that we overcome it, is we overcome fear by faith. And fear and faith, you know, there is a similarity. They're opposites in one sense, but both of them are forces. They are forces that release and manifest things in life. Faith manifests the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the life of God. Fear manifests negative things in our life. We must not tolerate fear. We must not submit to it and bow to it. We must be a people that declares war on fear. We've got to start there. Unfortunately, the pandemic of fear, it's locating us, or this COVID-19 pandemic, it's locating all of us. And that's what adversity does. Adversity locates us. And the reason why is because my faith has to be proven by adversity. I will really never know whether I have faith or not until adversity comes, until fire begins to burn in my life. But if the current adversity can locate where I am in terms of my faith, then I know where I am and I know where I need to grow. So there's no condemnation if you've located yourself over the recent days And being in a place of fear, there's no condemnation. But change begins when you locate yourself. And if you've been dealing with fear, if you've been overcome with anxiety, God wants you to use this opportunity. He wants you to use this time when things are very, extremely different right now. Use this time to draw closer to God and get into the secret place with Him. And be with God and let God speak to you and read His word and begin to exercise and grow the muscles of faith to be the overcoming people that God has really called for us to be. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to use this as our theme. And I don't know exactly the direction we're going to go in, but God wants us to grow. And He wants us to mature. And He wants us to become strong, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about finding safety in a time of calamity. And in light of this national quarantine, I want to title the message today, Quarantined in the House of Blood. If you didn't share the message yet, the live stream, go ahead and share it now because people need to hear this word. It is my strong opinion that faith for God's people must be rooted in blood. You may have never heard that before, but I'm going to share a couple things with you you may never heard before. Our faith, our Christian faith, must be rooted in blood. What do you mean, Pastor Rob? I mean that you can't have faith unless it's rooted in blood. The blood of the Lamb, that is. The blood of the Lamb. Were it not for the shedding of the blood of Jesus, there would be no appropriation of faith because there would be no promise for our faith to apprehend if it were not for the blood of Jesus. You see, the blood of Jesus is what brought you and I redemption. And every promise that God has made us is divinely connected to our redemption. So the scriptures are clear that there would be absolutely no redemption unless there was the shed blood of Jesus. So it goes back to this basic idea that our faith, it must be rooted in the blood of the Lamb. And so in the scriptures, the blood of the Lamb speaks about the innocent blood that was shed for the guilty blood. We can call it blood for blood. Blood being shed, the innocent blood being shed for guilty blood, blood for blood. And so I want to talk just a little bit about the Bible and blood. You know, most people don't like to talk about the blood of Jesus. It's too gory for them to even hear about. It's weird. It's almost disgusting. You know, many people have labeled Christianity as a gory religion. Some people have called it the slaughterhouse religion. And it's because of our Judean roots that are basically just saturated in blood. It's our Judean roots in the Old Testament scriptures from the blood that was first time shed in the Garden of Eden. When God made coats from the skin of animals and He covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve, there was the shedding of blood even there in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning of time. And then as you travel throughout the scriptures, especially as you travel through the Mosaic Law, there are the sacrifices of the animals that are shed on behalf of the guilt of the people. And so all through the Old Testament, we see this. We see the blood of the sacrifices. And then when you get into the New Testament, we see the blood of the cross of the Son of God. And even when you get into the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, there's this imagery of the conquering Christ, listen, whose robe is dipped in blood. So you see blood from Genesis to Revelation. And so many people call this a pre-civilized barbarity, the Christian religion, the slaughterhouse religion, because there's so much talk about blood. I want you to make no mistakes about it. There's no getting around this. The Bible is a book of blood. The word blood is mentioned over 400 times in the scripture. The blood is the central theme of the entire Bible. And if you take the blood out of the book, then the book isn't worth the paper that it's written on. That's the truth. If you were to take the blood out of the Christian faith, our entire faith would crumble, folks. You've got to get this. Our entire redemption is based upon blood, the shed blood of the Lamb. And so you could see what Satan's strategy might be. It would be to downplay and minimize the power of the blood. In fact, all the cults in the world, they minimize the blood of Christ. Even many in the emerging church movement have dismissed the blood as the means of our redemption. Some say that Jesus going to the cross was only an example for the world of sacrifice and servanthood that would follow after him. They say that the blood of Jesus, the cross, was just to serve as an example, but that the idea that God would send his son to such a violent death on the cross for the sins of mankind, they say that's not the character of God. A loving God would never do that to his son. And so they call us the slaughterhouse religion because we say God sent his own son to be mutilated and to die and to shed every ounce of his blood on the tree on that hill called Calvary in order to bring redemption to mankind. I want you to listen. God makes it very clear in the scriptures, unless there is the shedding of blood, there is no hope for man. And so our faith is rooted in blood. Shedding of the blood of the innocent for the blood of the guilty. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, and he cried out in public with a loud voice, "Look! The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He called Jesus the Lamb of God. There it is right there, the Lamb, meaning that he was the innocent one. And everybody who heard that decree that day, they understood exactly what John was decreeing and saying, that Jesus would be the innocent sacrifice that must shed its blood for the blood of the guilty. John said it. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And through his sacrifice, he offers the world a way out. He offers the world hope. He offers the world redemption. In the Old Testament, we see types and shadows of blood for blood. All through the Old Testament, the blood of the innocent for the blood of the guilty. Again, I made mention, especially through the Mosaic Law, every time there was an innocent lamb or goat that was shed on behalf of the guilty people, in the Old Testament, it was a picture of the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Jesus, it was all pictures and images in the Old Testament. The shedding of the innocent blood for the blood of the guilty. And even prior to the Mosaic Law in Exodus chapter 12, we see another picture when God quarantined his people in the house of blood. And I want to look at this for a moment because it's very profound to where we are today. Let me give you just a little quick background here in Exodus chapter 2. The children of Israel have been living in the furnace of affliction in the land of Egypt for 400 years. And in their darkest hour of affliction, they cry out to the God of their father Abraham to deliver them. In fact, it says in Exodus 2, God hears the cry and remembers his covenant with Abraham. There was a covenant that God made with Abraham many, many years prior to God's people being in affliction in Egypt after 400 years now, crying out to the God of Abraham. And it says God heard their cry and he remembered something. God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham. And I say that and I repeat that because it's so important to the narrative. Because everything that is about to happen in the story in the book of Exodus is directly connected to the blood covenant that God cut with his man Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. Before Abraham ever even had a child, God said to him in Genesis 15 that you are going to have descendants that will be so large that if you look up into the sky, as many stars as you see, Abraham, that will be like your descendants. But God also told him in Genesis chapter 15, not only that he would have a child and children and descendants, God prophesied to Abraham and said, for 400 years, your descendants will be mistreated and oppressed in a land or a country that is not their own. God prophesied that to Abraham. And then God even took it a step further and said to Abraham, after 400 years, that God said, I will punish that nation that your people will serve, are serving as slaves, and I will deliver my people out of that land, and I'll bring them into their own land. All of that was said in Genesis chapter 15. And now, folks, listen, we are here right now in Exodus chapter 2. After 400 years of being beat down slaves in Egypt, they begin to cry out to the God of their father Abraham. And God hears their groaning and he hears their cries and he remembers his covenant with Abraham. Folks, listen. Now God has an obligation based on a covenant of blood that he cut with Abraham. God now has an obligation to intervene and to deliver them. Did you hear what I just said? The most important thing I've said so far is right here. God had a covenant with his people through Abraham, his covenant partner. His people call upon God to deliver them. And because God had a covenant to do so with Abraham, God was obligated based on this covenant to intervene. Somebody's going to get this. Somebody's going to get this. Wait a minute. This is so important. He was obligated. He wasn't, listen, God wasn't moved by the tears of the people. God is not moved because he felt sorry for the people who were slaves for 400 years. That's not why God is about to move. God is about to move because his people are evoking a promise made through a blood covenant with their father, Abraham. Do you see how important covenant is? And so here, God is, he hears their cry, the cry of his people. God is about to intervene and judge Egypt and set his people free based on a blood covenant he cut with Abraham in Genesis 15. And several plagues of judgment were about to be released in the land of Egypt. But how would God protect and deliver his people from the plagues? Come on now. How is God going to protect his people from the plagues that are going to sweep through the land of Egypt? The Lord tells his people exactly how to come under cover and be protected. He tells his people that they must be quarantined. They must be quarantined in the house of blood. God gives them specific instructions and how this is supposed to happen. The night prior to the fall of the first judgment, God speaks to the people of Israel. He says every Israelite family was to take a lamb. There it is again. A lamb. Take a lamb. Blood for blood. Take that innocent lamb. Each family. And they were to shed its blood at the doorstep or the threshold of each one of their homes. Then they were to take a bunch of hyssop and they were to dip it in the blood and they were to strike it on the doorpost and on the lintel of their house on the outside. The blood was supposed to go onto their house. In Exodus chapter 12 and 13, God says, the blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. Come on, I'm speaking to you right now who are watching live stream in your house. I'm speaking to you right now. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. I'm speaking to you. And really what that means when he says it'll be a sign, God is saying that the blood will be my signature. It'll be my sign. It'll be my signature on your house. God wants his signature of blood upon your house today. He wants his signature of blood on your house. If you are in covenant with God, he's put his signature in blood on your household. Do you believe that? You need to hear this today. This is not a joke. Then the next part of that verse in verse 13, God says this. He first says the signature of blood will be upon your house. Then he says, when I see the blood, God says, when I see my signature, I'll pass over you. God says, no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. I got no choice but to preach the word. Maybe you wanted to hear a more comforting message in me to be more sympathetic to the anxieties that people are dealing with and the fears. No, listen, I gotta hit this hard. I'm gonna hit this hard. God wants his signature of blood on your house. And he says, when I see my signature of blood on your house, I will pass over. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Let there be no confusion. It is important to understand that God is not the destroyer. He is, in fact, the restorer. God is not the destroyer. I don't have too much time to prove this in Scripture and show you, but God is not the destroyer. He's the redeemer. He never destroys. You've got to understand Satan is the great destroyer. And so, yes, God allowed the destroyer to be released, and there are reasons, and we call this divine judgment. When God moves his hand of protection and the enemy is released. And so God is not the destroyer in the text. The death angel is the destroyer. And so when you look at this, you have to understand that yes, there was permission. Yes, there was an open door. Yes, God allowed the judgment to come and the plagues to come into the land. But look what the Lord says. He says, when I see my signature, I will, look what he says, I will pass over. Pass over doesn't mean, good to see you guys, I'm just moving along here in Egypt. No. The word Passover means to encompass. It means to hover over. It's to hover over in a way that brings a shield or that brings protection. Do you see what God is saying? God says, when I see my signature of blood on your house, I'll be your shield. I'll hover over your home. Come on now. Some of you guys got to see this. You've got to see God saying, I'm going to hover over. I'm going to encompass your house. When I see the signature of blood on your home, I will be your shield. Why is this important? Because back there in Genesis 15, when God cut that covenant with Abraham and told him everything that was going to happen, God also said in the very first verse, God said, Abraham, do not be afraid, Abraham, because I am your shield. God said, I'm your shield. I am your shield. And now God is telling the Israelites, you lock yourself in that house of blood. You quarantine yourself in that place of safety. My blood signature will be on your house. And when I see it, I will be your shield. The only reason why God is hovering over the blood-stained house of the Hebrews is because he's remembering the blood covenant he made over 400 years ago with his man, Abraham. God said, I'm going to be your shield. And so God is being their shield. Oh, I just want to remind you, the Bible tells us that we are the children of Abraham. That even in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that Abraham is our father in the faith. And we are his spiritual I wish somebody was out there to say something. Somebody, we got a couple of people out there. Did somebody say anything? Amen. You are a child of Abraham, a spiritual child, a spiritual seed of Abraham. And this promise of God being his shield and God being the shield of the Hebrews in Egypt is the same promise to you. God says, I will be your shield. I'll be your shield too. They were instructed to go into the house of blood and stay there. The blood covenant is our house of blood. I want you to say that at home when you're watching. Say this and write it down. Write it down. Say, the blood covenant is my house of blood. Say it, write it. The blood covenant is my house of blood. Go ahead and post it all over Facebook. The blood covenant is my house of blood. At any moment, they could have stepped out of that blood-stained house. Come on now, listen. At any moment, they could have stepped out of the blood-stained house and they would have become vulnerable. They would have become vulnerable and open as long as they stayed in quarantine. I'm not talking about physical quarantine. I'm talking about quarantined in the house of blood, under the blood of Christ. As long as they stayed quarantined in the house of blood, They were protected and God was their shield. 10 plagues were released on the land of Egypt. I find it interesting that among the 10 plagues that were released, there was a virus in plague 5, number 5. It was a virus, and this virus literally killed off all of the livestock in Egypt. And then the 6th virus was an infectious, or the 6th plague was an infectious disease. It all comes under the blood. When it was all said and done, there was a divine protection in the house of blood based on a covenant of blood. I want to call up our little background music as I start to close this. When we understand the blood of the covenant, Psalm 91 begins to look very different to us. Come on now. We all been quoting Psalm 91. We've been reading it. Everybody's posting it on Facebook. But you got to understand this. And this is going to make all the difference in the world about Psalm 91. Psalm 91 has to be read in light of the blood covenant. It's more than a nice poetic psalm. This psalm finds its basis, or it is directly pinned to the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. To be his shield, to be his protector, to be his provider. That he should never be afraid, that he should never be overwhelmed with anxiety, because God was on his side and God would intervene and God would be his deliverer. Come on now, Psalm 91 is to be read and understood in light. The covenant that God made with Abraham. Many scholars ascribe Psalm 91 to the Israelites' protection when the plagues of judgment came and fell upon the Egyptians. That psalm, I believe it's connected to this whole story. It's a covenant psalm. I'll just read the first 2 verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, how many of you are saying, he is my refuge, and he is my fortress, and he is my God, and in him I will trust? The psalmist said, I will say this. The psalmist understood. He knew this was a covenant psalm, and he said, I must decree this covenant psalm. It's connected with blood, the secret place, and the shadow. That's the place of blood. It's the place of safety in a time of calamity, when there's fear and panic all around us. The secret place of God, the shadow under his wing, that is the house of blood. I want you right now to thank God for the blood. If you're at home right now watching this, go ahead. Just thank God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. You've made a provision. I thank you, God, for the blood of the Lamb, the innocent blood of Jesus the Christ that was shed for me that had guilty blood. You've rescued me, God. You've not only delivered me, you are delivering me. You will always deliver me, God. In the secret place of the Most High, I find my place, my dwelling place. Under the shadow of your wing, it's my dwelling place. You are my refuge and you are my fortress, my house of blood. I want to bring this to an end on this because this is important. The same way that they put that blood on their house is the same way you and I plead. I'm going to help you right here. Just listen. Plead the blood of the covenant. It's one thing understanding these great laws and principles theologically and mentally in your head. It's another thing to appropriate your faith. And now it's time you appropriate faith. You've heard enough about faith, more than you ever need to hear in your lifetime. But now it's time to appropriate faith. You've got to exercise it. You must release it. You must appropriate your faith, people of God. You must appropriate your faith. It's the only way any of these things work. They don't just work because you're a good person. They don't just work because you're going to heaven. They don't just work because your sins are forgiven. You must appropriate your faith. And so they applied it. There's a principle here. They put it on their doorpost with a bunch of hyssop. How do we do this? How is it translated to you and I? We got to plead it. We've got to plead it. The word plead is a legal term. Doesn't mean begging. No, it's a term that's used in a court of law. You don't see a lawyer ever approach the judge's stand begging on behalf of his client. That's not what pleading is in this context. We've got to stop begging. And we've got to start releasing faith. We've got to stop begging God. And we've got to start rising up and releasing and appropriating our God-given faith. We've got to start growing the muscles of faith. How do we apply the blood that has been shed, blood for blood? How? You plead it. We plead the blood by saying something. That's to plead a case. We plead it. Plead must come from our lips. But it's not saying, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Come on now, listen. It's not enough to just say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Really, to plead the case of the blood is you decree and you declare the work of redemption that came out of the blood. All of your redemption, by the blood, my sins are forgiven. By the blood, I'm justified and forgiven. By the blood, I have access into the throne room of God. By the blood, He gives me a sound mind. By the blood, I cancel out all fear. By the blood, my body's healed. By the blood, my mind is sound. By the blood, my children are protected. You plead your case. That's what it means. Use your words. Rise up, sons and daughters of God. And you make your case by pleading it. Plead the blood. And when you do so, you do exactly what those Hebrews did. They took the hyssop. They dipped it in the blood. They slapped it on their household. It was the signature of God. Your verbal testimony as you appropriate the blood unto your house. You must put your faith in the blood. I said in the beginning, faith is connected to the blood. You must put your faith in the blood. Have strong faith in the blood. The blood of the innocent lamb, the blood of Jesus the Christ, the blood of the cross. You have faith in it, then you plead it. You plead the blood. You plead the blood. I plead with you, plead the blood. I plead with you today. You plead that blood because there's power in the blood. You plead it. You plead the blood. You don't have time to mess around. You plead the blood. It's the source of my deliverance. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Do you see that? We have redemption through his blood. That word redemption is, it is a loaded word. Doesn't just mean forgiveness. Everything, it covers everything in redemption, everything. The blessing of God, the sound mind, healing for the body and the soul, deliverance and protection. It's all encapsulated in the word redemption that came by the blood. Are you under the blood? Are you under the blood? Do you have the signature of his blood upon your household? Coming under the blood or being quarantined in the house of blood. Listen as we close. It begins with the mercy of God. It begins with the mercy of God. Let me say it this way, and I think we could put it up on the screen. Blood brings me face to face with the mercy of God. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy. His mercy. We are brought face to face with the mercy of God because this innocent blood was shed. If there was no blood being shed, there'd be no mercy for us. There'd be no intervention. There'd be no mercy of God. The blood brings me face to face with the mercy of God. Now wait, wait. And my repentance lays hold of that mercy. There's mercy available, but my repentance lays hold of the mercy. It's time for God's people to repent. Could there be a divine pause, even in the church, in the nations of the world? Could God be talking to us about repenting? Repenting, repenting. Thank God for the blood. Thank God we can appropriate it. Thank God for the mercy, but we must apprehend the mercy. We must apprehend the mercies of God. The mercies of God are here for us. We must apprehend the mercies of God. How do we do that? We must repent. Repent. If you're wondering what you could do during this time of quarantine, start there. Start there. There does need to be a revival in the church, but it starts here. Laying hold of his mercy, asking God to forgive us. I even personally have been repenting. My wife and I have been praying and we've been getting into a deeper place with God, and man, it's just time just repent over all of our sin and our selfishness and our wayward ways and lukewarmness and lack of passion. It's a time to repent. It's a time to realign with God. In fact, we know that famous scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name, he's talking about his people. He's talking about that the land was underwater in calamity, and God talks to his people and he says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and repent and would seek my face, he says, I will respond and I will heal their land. Come on, folks. No more playing church. No more candy cane Christianity. Come on now. Come on now. Let's get on our face. Let's ask God to forgive us of our sin. Let's ask God to forgive us, the people of God. No. It's got to start in the church. Judgment begins in the house of God. Are you repenting? Don't be afraid to repent. If you've got nothing to repent for, you are deceived. You are stiff-necked. You are full. full of pride. Get on your knees as a family. Get with your spouse. Ask God to forgive you and intercede on behalf of your own soul first before you can intercede on behalf of the world. God, forgive us. Come on, let's pray. God, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for our wickedness. Yes, God, even wickedness. Wickedness is even found in the heart of sons and daughters of God. Forgive us for the many ways we've offended you, oh God. Forgive us the many ways we have broken your moral code and law. Forgive us for the many ways we've ignored you. We've dismissed you. Forgive us for the idols that we've worshipped. Forgive us for loving the world more than we love you, God. Forgive us for our lukewarmness. Forgive us for our carnality. Forgive us, God. God, in this time of divine pause, please, God, speak to us. Speak to us and show us the areas that we need to surrender to you. The areas we need to repent of. God, begin to do something significant in this crazy time that we live in. Do something inside of your church. And when we come out of this, that we would be a church of fire, a church of passion, that we would be a fighting machine. Oh God, do something in this divine pause in the hearts of your people all over this nation, all over the nations of the world. Oh God, let it begin with us right here at New Beginnings Community Church. Let it begin with us, oh God, in the secret place, in our private time with you. God, speak to us. God, that we would confess our sin. We would confess our sin and allow the blood of Jesus the Christ to release us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help us, God, help us. And right now we pray for the families of New Beginnings Community Church, God, that you would do a spiritual, deep spiritual work on the inside of every family connected to this community. God, you would even bring a revival even in quarantine, oh God. Bring a revival in quarantine, oh God. Bring a revival in quarantine. So when the quarantine is over, God, we can be that blazing flame, that blazing, blinding light, oh God, in the world that we live in. Oh God, let it begin with us. We pray for the families. We pray for everyone right now that is watching via live stream or that will watch today or later or tomorrow. We pray for you in the name of Jesus. We pray that God would have his perfect work done inside of you, that God would do something special in your life, in the life of your family. We pray the hand of God be upon you. We pray the signature of his blood be upon your household right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that faith begins to arise. We pray that God's people begin to arise even now in quarantine. Rise up, sons and daughters of God. Rise up, that we will be the light that you've called us to be, oh God. And we pray for anybody who is sick that is watching right now, anybody who is sick, anybody that has the virus, anybody who has just the flu, anyone right now. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak divine health and divine healing, and we break the powers of sickness, and we say the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus is against this sickness, the blood of Jesus is against this virus, the blood of Jesus is against this fear, the blood of Jesus is against this anxiety. In the name of Jesus, we command sickness to be brought to the foot of the cross where the blood of Jesus is dripping right now. Sickness right now be brought to the foot of the cross right now. We break its power over God's people, and we command the blessing, we command redemption, we command the healing of Almighty God to be released right now into your life in the name of Jesus the Christ. Come on, if you agree, say amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I know I did go a little bit too long, but I felt it was an urgent message to really hit home hard. Share the broadcast. Please invite people to watch it. Do the watch party, and we will keep in contact with you. Send in your prayer request today. Pastor Gail and I will be praying this week for all of you. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.